Hello, and welcome to the Astro City Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting Kurt Busiek's Astro City series. In this Astro City Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing Astro City number 48 to 51. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, John?
A little tired, but I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
You have a good reason to be tired, though.
Yeah, it's been a busy week.
Yeah.
Now, these are four of the last five issues of the long volume of Astro City.
Yes.
Our first issue here of 48 continues the story. We ended off the two-parter on last time. Mm-hmm. We've got a one-parter, and then what turns out to be the first two of a three-parter, which I hadn't realized. Even if I had, I probably still would have left the issues cut off where we are, because I think four issues is enough to talk about for one sitting.
I agree.
I gotta say, this was not one of the best batches of four issues we've had. I wouldn't say it was the worst, but I would say it's the batch that didn't click with me the best.
You know what? It's interesting you say that, and it makes perfect sense too. And the reason why, flip side, 48 I loved. Loved. But I'm a pet owner.
Yeah.
And I started looking at it in layers. And then, like you said, the other ones though, like 49, I really didn't care for it. And 50 and 51, I was just, it was just okay. But 49, I just really didn't like.
Let's talk about 48 for a minute, because I definitely think this whole story has been really good, even from a non-pet owner perspective.
Yeah.
It was touching on some interesting stuff, but where this issue confounded me a little bit mm-hmm. was we ended on a particular note in the previous issue, which was what about this?
He's getting old. Yeah, the dog.
It takes halfway through this issue to get back to that point.
That's where I was a little bit confused at the beginning, because I remember that big and I was like, oh my goodness. And then, yeah, it kind of goes back through heroics in the past and them doing their adventures and him coming back with the little amulet, all that stuff, just to get back to where we were and we had left off.
And it wasn't clear that it had rolled back that far, or alternately, that the other issue had jumped forward that much.
I would say that is the flaw, because I flip back to issue 47 because I was like, I thought we left off with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And I just kept reading. I was like, oh, okay, here it goes. We went back quite a ways and it was not clear. So that was a flaw of the story.
I did the same thing. I had to check back in 47. It's like, I know we ended on a strong moment. It took until about page 13 of 48 to get back there. And rereading that last few pages of 47, I think that they quietly fast forwarded a little bit, and then This picked up where otherwise we had left off, but it wasn't clear that was the case.
Yeah, it wasn't clear. I didn't know if we'd gone back or picked up, because he's still kind of okay.
Yeah.
It's about an aging pet, and it was kind of cool, because like the corgi, he meets a little team of all the other animals,
mm-hmm.
with Dr. Monkey being the only one that could talk. The others, Kitty Hawk and all them, they're all kind of mute, but the corgi is what enabled him to really communicate with the animals. And I thought that was just kind of cool, because you feel the loss from his side, you feel the loss from the team of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they spoke about things, because I had a cat who died not that long ago. I was thinking, and I was saying, you know, people think, oh, it's replaceable. Just get another cat. Just get another dog. It's not the same. It's not the same thing.
No, every living thing has a personality to it.
Yeah, they really do. They have a bigger impact on your life than you think.
Yeah, to consider them interchangeable, I think, is a little callous. And that's, I think, the power of this story is it really dived into that whole aspect.
Yeah.
But I also felt that the end of the story didn't really land for me.
Yeah, I would say for me, that was probably the most disappointing thing, the ending, with that hawk kind of picking up the amulet and flying away.
Yeah, because, I mean, we'd gotten the bit with, okay, the amulet, you could maybe use it for another animal, whatever. We get how Andy just stumbled across it out hiking. So it felt like they were almost trying to do a bookend of, well, he leaves it for somebody else to go find.
Yep.
Bird takes it and flies off, and I'm like, well, where the hell is this going? And we know we don't see anything more of this because there's these three issues and what we're covering next episode. There's no time to revisit this.
Yeah, it's essentially a dead end for us, but it's left like he's picking it up. And this was a future adventure that we could read about, but we will never read again.
There's still the foolish optimist in me saying we could see this down the line. Likelihood of it is negligible at best.
Yeah.
The bottom line for me is the dog lived longer than was expected given the end of the previous issue.
Yeah.
We rolled back, so it didn't feel like we really had more time with the dog, but revisited previous time with the dog. And then once Hank the dog passes, that's where the story kind of didn't have the payoff for me. And again, the leave the amulet for somebody else, it's like, okay. It wasn't bad, but I think there has to be a better ending for the story that would have had more resonance.
I can see that. That's the one thing I didn't like, the leaving of the thing, unless you want to look into it metaphorically, is there's going to be a future that life is going to continue. This special power will continue on, but it didn't work for me. For me, okay, this is really getting off topic, but I saw it as one person dealing with pet loss, things like that, and doing it in a cool superpower type way. And I really like that, maybe because where, you know, what had happened with me and animals in the past. But then I started thinking about it. It's also like you see the fighting, the denial, the different things, the enjoyment, how this dog made him a better person.
Mm-hmm.
It made me start thinking in human terms. My brother who passed away. And I started thinking about that. And I'm like, so the story, I was like, I think it could be taking on another level too about the stages of grief and things that people go through.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, for me, it was like kind of impactful. I was like, man, that's really kind of a cool story. Ended with a flop, that last page for me, but I really liked it.
I think you nailed how it should have ended though, because the whole story was about how Hank the dog changed Andy the human.
Yes. That's the story.
Not what's the deal with the amulet. That's the vehicle the story uses.
Yeah.
So to end on here's what happens to the amulet was the wrong ending. It should have been what happened to Andy. How did he process his grief?
I think it would have been very powerful for him to look at the amulet and say, thank you. And thank you, Hank, for making me a better person. Something like that. Just boom. And he could have even reflected, you know, my dad did things to make me a better person. You did things for me too, Hank. Thank you so much. You do that little twist, and boom, the story has resonance, and people are like, oh my gosh, that's a gut punch. But it is like more the story of the amulet, which I don't care about inanimate objects. Not my thing.
Well, again, that's not what the story was ultimately about. I mean, the whole arc for the thing was Andy becoming the better person.
Yeah.
So to not land on that plot point in some way, shape, or form, you know, maybe Andy became something to do with rescuing animals or I don't know, something.
Something. I mean, I thought it was really powerful that they had that funny little animal group. They kept changing their name, that Pet Dander, Pet Patrol. They were always changing up to something silly. But how the animals just came around them and the dog comes up and puts his head on his lap and they can feel the loss too, even though he can't talk to them anymore. He can't hear the animals. But I think that would have been appropriate. Him working in an animal rescue or some type of way like that to help out dogs like Hank. Dogs in need. And then maybe he finds a love of his life, you know, another love that he was like, this guy is a cool dog too. And he takes him home, you know, something positive versus the amulet.
Yeah. We see Andy still having powers with the amulet without the dog.
Correct.
The implication is he can still understand the pets. Just it's not as sharp or as vibrant as it had been with the dog.
Correct, yeah.
So if it had been, here's what happened to him, he lays down the powers and goes about his life, but those pets keep visiting him or something.
Something a little more emotional, yeah?
Yeah, and more personal to Andy than the amulet.
Yeah, I think Kurt Busiek was right there on the cusp of something great with this story and just came up a little bit short based on that last page.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still enjoyed it, though, just because of all the other stuff.
It was good. I think it could have been brilliant.
That's where I am. It could have been the best story in Astro City, but it was good.
I do have one question about that last page.
Okay.
Andy goes out into the mountains, takes the amulet, hangs it on a tree branch, flies away.
Oh, yeah. He shouldn't be able to fly away.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it until you said it. He's given up the powers. Anyways.
Yet he still got the suit and he still flies off. I think his first thing should have been, I should have thought this through.
That's funny. I didn't even realize that, but that's true. You know, you're just looking at it flying away and then I'm like, oh yeah, that it shouldn't work.
If Astro City had kept coming out on a monthly basis, because I mean, this came out back in 2017, late 2017. We would have had time by now to have revisited this, just as this was revisiting, in a way, shape, or form, the Stormhawk story. So we could have seen the next hero in this iteration.
Correct. Yeah. But, and that would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been great.
Yeah.
But alas, has not happened so far.
Yes. So what did you think of issue 49?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to 49. This one.
Oh, my God.
It didn't click with me, and I think a lot of it came down to Lulu, the feature character.
Yeah, I could see that. This was his reporter girl, Lulu, and her fight for justice. Essentially, he's saying it in here. I'm not trying to cast aspersion or, you know, anything, judgment. The ultra-liberal dad who's on the left of every cause and all that type of stuff. This was just very weird. It harkened back to the 60s. It came off as a little bit cheesy when you start having those guys flying around with the rebel flags. I was like, this one felt so on the nose and so heavy-handed, and then it flips to her being the main story, and I found her essentially boring.
I think my problem was I never liked the character.
I didn't like her at all.
I wasn't given a reason to.
No.
She's a workaholic. That's apparently why she ended the relationship she was in. She was trying to follow in her dad's footsteps, even though he was not a deadbeat dad, but certainly an absent dad who didn't seem to care much about her.
Yeah, he'd rather fight for saving the whales than be there for his kid.
So all of this was her backstory and whatnot, without having started the story giving me a reason to care about her.
Yeah, yeah.
I was more interested in the cameos than the main character, and that's really bad.
Mm-hmm. I really disliked her completely. And the dad, like you said, as soon as, I guess it was the mom was out of the picture, he's just like, oh, I got to go off and protest and do this and that. Essentially abandons her when she's young. Very weird. Very weird story.
But we never really find out how she was able to survive on her own.
Exactly. Is there a grandparent? We don't see them. Don't know.
Yeah, that whole bit was a little weird. To me, the highlights of the issue were when she was investigating, I think it was that Simon Sterling, the rich guy running the tech company.
Yeah.
She's calling around, doing some research. I think one of the people she called was Dr. Bunsen Honeydew of Muppet Labs.
That's funny.
Because if you go to the page where we get the Sterling Industries thing, the middle panel on the top is a guy who, if you Muppetize him just slightly, because he seemed very Muppet-like, Dead Ringer.
That's hilarious. Now that you say it, that's so funny.
But then the other cameo I really enjoyed, and it was a single panel thing. She was making sure she had her facts in alignment. She's sitting, she's talking to a fact checker, and that's Samaritan's alter ego of Asa Martin.
Yeah, yeah, that I did notice, and I thought that was kind of cool, you know, that was funny.
Because, I mean, how often would you see Clark Kent and that sort of cameo or whatever? So to see Samaritan there, I thought was great.
Yeah, that was cool. It made it Astro City-like. But everything else in the story, I felt like I was bored to tears. It came off like he wanted to tell a story about this girl who's the reporter who got abandoned and is a workaholic, and none of which really resonates with me. And then the dad fighting for his causes, but not giving a damn about his daughter. Just, it's kind of weird. It makes me dislike him, despite, even if I was on his side for, and I was like, fight the good fight. Man, you abandon your daughter. You're a deadbeat, in my opinion.
Well, that's the thing, is the two characters, the lead reporter, I thought was unlikable and poorly introduced. She was not positioned for us to connect with. And then the father, like you said, abandon her, isn't really around in the present day, kind of, sort of, unless he's the power behind the power, if you will.
Yeah.
And wasn't introduced in a way we would say, I'll root for him. So there's nobody to root for and is likable. And I thought it wouldn't have taken much to tweak the story for both of them to have not only fighting the good fight, but do it for the right reasons in a, yeah, we can get behind this maybe they've had a rough life, maybe they were separated more than they should have been, whatever, but for us to not dislike either or both of them would have made a huge difference in the story for me.
It really would have, and I felt like this was disappointing, and in my opinion, just for me, it was a boring read. I was bored reading this, just because when I don't connect to a story, I can't help myself mentally. I keep withdrawing from the story, and I have to force myself back in, and that's not a good feeling.
I can totally understand that, because I could not connect with this.
No.
And there were a few places, I forget exactly where it was, when the whole resistors thing was set up, I thought there was a line where there would always be three of them, but no more than five or something like that. Or no, there was never just one. The more there were, the more powerful they became. So the whole superpower aspect of it, I didn't connect with. The lead characters, I didn't connect with. I spent my time trying to figure out, I don't say what the point of the story was.
That's kind of where I was. What is the point of this story?
There was nothing to grab hold of for me. This being a single issue story, I think, was a very wise move, but it also didn't land the ending. Now, granted, I didn't connect to it, so I don't know if it could have, but it seemed like it just kind of stopped rather than landed somehow.
Yeah, yeah, it did. It felt just like abrupt, we're done. Boom.
Gone. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, they can't all be winners, but there we are.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other two, 50 and 51, were the first two parts of a three-parter. It's the follow-up to the Astro City One Half.
Okay.
Issue 50 came out January 31st of 2018. Astro City One Half came out on February 4th of 1998, so about 20 years earlier.
Holy mackerel, that's a long...
You hit issue 50, it's good to do a look back kind of anniversary-ish sort of a thing, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah.
I don't know this needed to be a three-part story.
I agree with you there, because I got to the end of the second part. It was kind of going on and on about the guy, you know, picking up the donuts and having a group meeting, a support group, essentially, for people who've had loved ones who've been maimed or died because of superhero action, essentially.
Yeah, essentially a PTSD support group for people of Astro City.
Yeah. So, you know, you're seeing his life and the effort he puts into it, and meeting new members, all that type of stuff. And then the second one is a little more action filled, and then he gets accused. And I thought we were going to wrap it up there, but I was just like, all right, this could have been done in two. I already feel like it should have been done in two. I think they should have wrapped up the confrontation about his standing right there, but we're going into another issue. The last one, essentially.
I think it should have been a double-sized issue 50 and all told there.
Yeah, I could see that too. That would have made sense, because it just felt like he was stretching it out, if that makes sense.
It felt decompressed in not a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Decompressed. I said stretching it out, but yeah, decompressed in a not good way. And I think he could have done it in the oversized 50. And the only other thing I could think is he went to 52, because DC always does 52 stuff. And he's a fan of DC, so a little Easter egg there. I don't know.
I'm wondering, because this brings up the, you know, why did they end the series where they did, all that kind of stuff. Was the plan always to end at 52? When was that decision made versus when was this plotted out?
Exactly, because it seems almost uncanny, the issue number that it ended at. And him, I think he's definitely, I mean, he's a Marvel and DC fan, but I think he's a DC fan. That might be a nod.
I've always considered him more of a Marvel fan.
Yeah. Well, hey, a nod to 52, because if he did a nod to Marvel, it would have been over in five issues.
These days, yes. Do a nod back then, it could have been 2099 for all we knew.
Exactly. Bad joke.
Yeah. I guess for me, this wasn't a bad story. It was fun to see where this guy wound up. The whole Miranda's Friends support group thing was kind of interesting. It made sense.
Yeah.
The first part ended on a question of where's so-and-so, and I'm like, who is so-and-so?
Yep.
The second issue kind of resolves that to a degree, but it also brought up the, he's running a support group, every once in a while he gets asked, what's his story? And we see the reaction, and it makes sense.
It does make sense, and he's not as forthcoming as he should have been. Essentially, because I think if he would have gone into detail about this, it might have built a level of trust, or they might have thought like he, a charlatan. I can't even say the word. A liar.
Well, I think he wasn't upfront about it because of their reaction. He'd had this before.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's essentially an alternate timeline where he was married. He has knowledge that he was married. He didn't want to lose that knowledge. It's the confessor, right? With the rope. Oh, no, the hangman.
The hanged man.
Yeah, the hanged man gave him, hey, I can wipe out your memory because we had to change the timeline. And by changing your timeline, your wife doesn't exist. And to make it less painful, we can wipe out your memories. And he's like, I don't want my memories wiped out. I want to remember that. And so he's living and carrying this pain, starts a support group. And everyone thinks that he made her up and he never was married because there's no proof of her ever existing in this world. And so it's weird. Would you believe him? I don't know if I would. I think I'd say he's a liar and maybe he gets off on it like the lady who was accusing him in there.
Given you're in a world where people are flying and doing all sorts of impossible things.
That's true. It's Astro City, so.
I think I would have done this story a little differently myself.
Okay.
I think I would have, what I'm thinking of now would have worked better as a two-parter.
Yeah.
I'd have taken the two issues we had, compressed them down to one, streamline it a bit, have it get to this Lady Rose is accusing him of it's a scam, he's trying to get everybody's money. The whole bit, if he tells his story, they don't believe Miranda ever existed, whatever. Then you get the reveal going into the next issue. And what I would have had be the reveal is in walks into the support group room, Miranda.
Ah.
And Rose's son, Duncan, and everybody else that was kind of lost, and basically have the next issue be almost not quite a retelling of the one half, but if there's one world in which Astro City goes down a certain path, hits a point, the heroes do a time adventure, things twist, and Miranda doesn't exist. Isn't it equally likely there's another world where the history of Astro City was identical up until that point, but the time change meant Mike didn't exist and Miranda did?
That would have been clever. I would have liked that.
And then both of them get to meet for a little bit. I don't know if they'd get to stay together or not, but it would certainly answer the question of it's not a scam, but in a way that almost makes it seem like it's definitely a scam.
Yeah, she's essentially running a support group called Mike's Group or
Mike's Friends, yeah.
Mike's Friends, yeah. And the lady who did the accusations feels a little guilty, and I lost my arm, you lost something a lot more. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The moral of the story coming out of it. Because remember, she wouldn't let go of the kids, so she has like a little nub there.
That bothered me. And one, that's a push-button issue for me.
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
Go to the page where she's going, it's a scam, he's in it for the money.
Okay.
And go to that panel literally where she's saying, it's a scam, a scam.
Okay.
And do you notice something that's not right with that panel?
She has an arm. No.
She has a right hand.
She does. Huh. What the heck?
And just a few pages earlier, we got the reveal of she had hung on to her son the entire time and lost the hand as a result.
Yeah, she has both hands right there. I'm like looking at him right now. Huh. Man, that's a big error right there. You need a no prize award. Good catch. Good catch.
I mean, mistakes happen, but until it's drawn, this is the job of the editor, and I'm not saying they had a bad editor. Things get through.
Yeah.
Because it's something you either see or you don't see. Molly Mahan or whatever is the editor. I don't recognize the name of that or executive editor Mark Doyle. I just checked the credits real quick.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's a big snafu right there because literally she had a nub, half of her forearm. It's just rounded off halfway through her forearm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now she's sprouted a hand here.
And it's not just that that's the case, but that that was a huge reveal.
Exactly. She throws it up in the air. I held on. And I told, you know, basically telling my son, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And as the lasers came and burned through her arm, she was holding on to him. She didn't let go even for when her arm's getting burned. That was a big reveal, the pain that she suffered and everything, that emotional plus physical.
Which is why she had this whole visceral reaction to somebody who it's like, yeah, you're saying you've got a wife, but there's no record of her ever having existed.
Yeah. I personally, I don't know why, but what triggered her to research him, you know? Maybe that's just who she is.
She had mentioned she knew somebody who was a cop, had him checked out. It was never really clear as to why, though. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's weird. She's definitely a busybody. She's not someone you want living next door. She'll be all in your business.
I wouldn't want her in the neighborhood. Yeah, yeah.
She's the one who's going to rat you out to the HOA. For sure. She's got you on camera.
Because, yeah, she's given this guy's whole life story to the group of this is what he is, not not what he's claiming to be.
And I kind of like felt bad for him that at that point, but I'd remembered the story that we read a long time ago because I remember this because it was essentially like a crisis type event, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Crisis had taken his wife away. She got in a race. It was a cool callback. I liked it. I wonder if they're going to land the ending. That's the only thing. But it does feel very, very, very decompressed.
I had remembered that this story took place, had not remembered it was a three-parter. I think I remember kind of sort of how a part of it gets resolved. We'll find out when we read it and stuff for the next episode. But this could have been so much better. It wasn't bad. It was drawn out was the problem.
Yeah, yeah. This felt like everything through Astro City, almost everything, is very tight narrative, done quickly, because a lot of it was done in ones, done in twos, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it felt like this was very decompressed. And that's not a good feeling. It just feels off from the pacing of anything else we've read in Astro City.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of the fun of Astro City is skipping around and seeing different corners of it at different times. If you spend too long in one place or on one character, the shiny newness wears off and that doesn't help the story.
I agree with you there. It's kind of the motion, and like you said, going from this character to that character, the world building, and getting excited when you see him pop up again in the background somewhere or something that makes it fun. But yeah, it's just like the Dark Ages when we spent too long with certain characters. It felt plodding and it just kept going on, and you're just like, okay, I don't like this guy. And sometimes people that Kurt Busiek likes, because maybe he's writing himself into the characters. I don't know. I've never met the guy. I don't know his personality. Maybe that connects with him and resonates with him, but not with me. And who he really likes is not necessarily who you and I really like.
Yeah.
We like the little girl. Oh, what's her name? Something First. I can't remember her name.
Oh, Astra.
Astra First. We like this character, that character, and go on and on. And he happened to like Steeljack. And he happened to like Royal.
Royal and Charles, the Williams
Charles,
brothers.
Whatever, yeah. Yeah. Characters that I was like, but that's who spoke to him. And it's his creation. So that's who he spent time with. He likes writing them for whatever mm-hmm. reason. More power to him. But yeah, like you said, with the jumping around, the newness, I think that gives it a little bit of excitement because you don't know what you're going to get. It's all brand new, shiny, fresh new car smell.
Yeah. Yeah. So the three-part aspect of this didn't work in its favor. I think the issue 50, if you replace the last page, it's basically a day in the life of this guy.
Yeah.
And if it had just, and, you know, I got to get ready for tomorrow, had been how it ended, of this is his daily grind that he's good with it, that would have been a satisfying issue.
Yeah, that's all you needed. They could have stopped issue 50. It's like a nice round number. Would have made sense to me. But I'll tell you what. These issues, these two, in my opinion, just for me, were better than 49. 49, I really did not like at all. I really disliked it.
I guess for me, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. This was definitely better than 49. I didn't hate 49. I didn't dislike 49. I just didn't connect with it.
No, I was bored. That's essentially what it was.
Yeah,
was
it was
bored.
A swing and a miss on a deep level.
Yeah. Characters you don't like and a story you don't want to read.
It'd be like at a baseball game, you get a guy who doesn't strike out or whatever, but it takes him 20 minutes to do whatever he doesn't do.
You're like, come on, man, get it over with.
Slow enough game as it is, come on.
Exactly. So, but overall, for me, the highlight was the first one.
Yeah.
But like we talked about, it was not perfect and it had the potential to be perfect, which is a little bit disappointing, but overall, it was a solid story.
I do want to shout out Mike Norton on the art again for issue 48.
Yeah.
Terrific artist, great with animals, which was a real strength for that issue.
Yeah, he's a perfect guy for that.
Yeah. Brent Anderson continues to do a good job on these other ones. Again, there's a few issues, you know, here and there of, again, wait, that character shouldn't have that hand. It's going to happen.
Yeah. A little bit sad. We have two more issues of Astro City. We're done.
Two and a fraction.
A fraction. Yeah, you're going to talk about the fraction.
Yeah, because we've got Astro City 52 that finishes this story in this volume. We've got the Astro City that was then special number one that looked like it was going to kick off another story, but didn't.
Yeah.
And then there's an 8-page story in the Comics for Ukraine Kickstarter that was done in 2022 that I've been able to get a copy of. So I'm going to read that for that episode. I'm curious about it. because that's the last 8 pages of Astro City, and I am willing to bet most Astro City fans are unaware it exists. I know I was until just when we were recording a few episodes of these back.
Yeah, you told me about it. I was like, what? Comics are Ukraine? What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who bought it, where it is, but you got it off of a weird website too.
Yeah, it was Zoop, maybe that's what it was.
Zoop, yeah, something Zoop. Weird.
And it was, I think, $40 for the issue and maybe $10 or $11 shipping.
Wow. And how many pages of it are Astro City?
8.
That's the most expensive 8 pages ever. That's like original art, man.
Just about. But, and again, I haven't gone through the whole issue yet. I'll try to do that before we record the next Astro City Spotlight. Some of the other creative teams are big name people too.
Yeah. Well, let me know what you think about it when we record next time on Astro City.
No, absolutely. Now, one of the letters pages in here, I forget if it was 50 or which issue, mm-hmm. did state that 52 was going to wrap up this volume, but that the plan was to release a series of graphic novels through Vertigo, with the first one being Astro City N-Forcement, presumably going through the N-Force series of characters.
Yep.
And that, of course, has never happened.
I'm looking at that now. Never happened.
And I don't recall if there was anything addressing that issue or that storyline or whatever in the Astro City that was then special. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. But that was going in a completely different direction with the Teen Titans kind of a group.
Yeah.
So it's been long enough that the odds of us getting any more don't seem to go up over time. But again, I'm not going to say it's over until Kurt Busiek kicks the bucket or something. And even then, maybe there'll be some lost manuscripts that Brent can go finish, or I don't know, something. We can hold out hope.
Fingers crossed. We'll find out soon, hopefully. Well, not soon that he passed away. That's morbid, but
our great grandkids may find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're getting pretty close. I mean, the gap between Astro City 52 and then That Was Then Special was nearly 200 weeks. I think it was 197 weeks. And I think as of this point, we're at 191 weeks since the Comics for Ukraine.
Wow.
So we're not quite at the longest gap in Astro City since it started back, 30 years ago, I guess? Because it started in over 30 years, August of 1995.
But we're approaching it.
We're approaching it.
The longest gap.
We're approaching 31 years of Astro City,
Yeah, wow.
So, but yeah, one more episode and we'll have finished all of Astro City, which is just, again, a bit mind-blowing. I still love the series. I think it's great stuff. I think the fact that the creative team of Kurt Busiek, Brent Anderson, and Alex Ross and some of the character designs and covers was there throughout the entire thing. There were only a handful of other artists that stepped in for a few issues here and there, like Mike Norton for the first of the ones we talked about this time. But for any artist to stay on a project for that kind of duration, that's insane.
Yeah, that's really insane.
And that's whether you count it by the 20 or 30 years or by just the issue count.
It's something you just don't see happening. You really don't. So I'm thankful for what we've been reading up until now, and we'll kick it off and say goodbye next time we record on it.
Yeah, hopefully they land the ending to the story we're currently in. I'm curious how that Was Then's going to read for me, knowing it doesn't go anywhere or hasn't gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, Comics for Ukraine, definitely curious about that.
Me too. I'm very curious.
Anything else?
Nah, that does it for me.
Cool. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, form, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayo. And thanks again for listening.